This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an entrepologist and naturopathic doctor, I work with entrepreneurs and go-getters to optimize the health and performance of these world-changing innovators, people kind of like you. With us today is Christine Russell, and we are talking about performance through peaceful practices. Christine Russell is a mother of two, a teacher, an entrepreneur, and a visionary. She believes in miracles and the limitless possibilities arising from the journey inward. In 2007, she co-founded 889 with her sister Emily, a studio in Toronto with the mission to inspire happy, healthy, peaceful lives. Christine graduated from the 889 Living Yoga School, the Richard Ivey School of Business, and from the MIT EO Entrepreneurship Program. It's Christine's personal mission to ignite your inner light and brighten those around you, and that certainly happened today. We had so much fun on today's episodes. Among her suggestions for optimizing clarity and building daily mindfulness practices, Christine also shared with us what I consider to be maybe the most epic yet beautiful morning routine. You are going to love her and you're going to learn so much. Here she is, Christine Russell. So Christine, I just want to say hi and welcome you to the podcast.
Hi, Megan. Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here with you and your community.
Oh, I'm really excited to have the opportunity to chat with you. And you are such a community builder, and we have so many things that we're going to be able to get into today. I want to start off with a quote that I found on maybe it was on your website, maybe it was on someone who had interviewed you. But you said one of your favorite quotes is by Marianne Williamson, and you said you realize that you can have everything when you realize you are everything. Have you always been this wise?
Probably not. I think wisdom is really from the journey. So I think as I've, you know, gathered as I've gone and I've journeyed myself, I think the wisdom is really starting to now start to really come out of me. I think being a mom has been a part of that, you know, being forced to rise into that role of leadership in your family and leadership in the world. So it's definitely been part of the journey. But it's an amazing quote. And I think, you know, what I love most about it is that, you know, the remembering that we have everything that we need. You know, we need not seek outside ourselves. Every tool, every feeling that we need is already inside of us. It's just a matter of uncovering that. And that's a real yogic principle, the sort of concept of the inner remembering, that we're not really here to learn. We're actually here to remember, because this is already all within us. And I think the quote really captures it, to know that you are everything.
I love that. And so, you know, you talked about this as being really a yogic principle, and I know you've had an evolution. You're an entrepreneur and you studied business and you studied entrepreneurism at MIT. Like, you did some really cool, hardcore business things, and then you transformed it into this like really peaceful, awesome creation that is 889 Yoga. Can you tell us the story that is that journey from entrepreneur? And I mean, did you grow up that way? Were you an entrepreneur as a child? Like, what's the journey that got you here?
Yeah, of course. It's a totally interesting journey. And in reflection, you sort of see like, oh, okay, so that led me there and that led me to that. And here I am today. But, you know, as life is, in the moment, it's not always clear to you, right? So I had a calling, and I'm going to back up my story a little bit, but my sister and I had this calling to bring yoga to, you know, the masses, to bring it in a really accessible way. But it really made no sense to us. Neither of us had ever started a business. We weren't advanced yogis. We weren't even really intermediate yogis. We were quite beginner. You know, we'd never been a boss, and there was just this calling, and it didn't really make any logical sense, but we just knew that this was happening. It was sort of unfolding for us. And that's how 889 came to life. Prior to that, I did, when I was little, I used to be the like kind of nerdy girl. I would, you know, make homemade jam, make hair scrunchies with my friends, and we'd sell them at craft shows. And like, that was my thing. I think I always had a little bit of that entrepreneur in me. And I grew up, both my parents were entrepreneurs. So that's definitely informed, this decision and this lifestyle of running my own business. So my father has a wholesale fruit and vegetable business, and he has for 39 years now. And so he was one of the first to really bring in and import organics into Ontario. So he's kind of been an influence, a big influence on my entrepreneurial spirit for sure. And my mother is also an entrepreneur, and she has her own decorating business. But I think what I really drew from her, both Emily and I, my sister and I did, was just she was always on the cutting edge and still is of health and healthy living. So even to this day, when we consider ourselves, you know, visionaries and light workers in that area, we will still like sort of sneak around mom's house and mom's kitchen and mom's bathroom and see what she's using and see what she's taking. And we still find ourselves, you know, she'll be doing something and then we'll kind of be like, what is she doing? And then a year later, we're like, oh, of course, mom was doing that a year ago, you know? So she still remains this visionary. And it's not by, you know, she doesn't really take any particular pride in it. And it's just a real, it's just who she is, you know? She always laughs. She's like, I was shopping at the Big Carrot in the 80s. Come on, you know?
So that begs the question, what is she doing and taking right now? Like, what is the wellness trend for 2017 that she's going to inform for us?
Well, I have to tell you, she's really into these essential oils now. At first, she sort of thought like, oh, you know, I'll try them. And she just called me from Florida the other day and she's like, I need some of that Melissa oil. I was reading about it. It's the oil of light. I was like, yes, mom, it is. She's that person who's just super consistent. You know, she goes for a 30-minute walk every single day. You know, and she used to say, oh, come on a walk with me. I'm like, no, mom, I run. You know, and I don't run anymore. I love walking now. And she's just super consistent. She's always got her lemon water in the morning, and she's got her super healthy smoothie, and she's putting the healthy greens in, and she's getting a good sleep, and she's just like, she's all about that consistent daily ritual. It's truly her lifestyle. And that's, I think, what's touched me most, most profoundly now in who I am today.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? And I talk to my patients about this all the time. It's what you do and how you do it is going to be so much more impactful on the health of your children and your employees and the people around you than anything you say or any policy your business has put into play. So it's amazing, right? Her consistency and her example has laid the groundwork for this really incredible thing that you've created.
Yeah, thank you. It really has. She's really taught that to me, that lesson about consistency.
It's great. And so, you know, your space and your energy and your business and who you are, you've got this just incredible, calm, cool, collected demeanor. Is that what we see? Is that there all the time? Is this something you like vigilantly practice to be able to do that? Because I know our audience, we have a lot of entrepreneurs, we have people who are really busy and they're always in the, you know what, once things calm down, I'll work towards that. Or they see that energy as their competitive advantage. So how do you run this really incredible business, but not from that place of angst and stress and push? Or maybe you do and you just hide it really well.
I think I used to hide it really well. I think for the first, we're coming up this month, actually, on our 10-year anniversary of 889.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. And I would say probably for the first, I don't know, 7 years maybe, I think I did hide behind that. I did hide that stress and I did hide the anxiety and, you know, that analogy that of the duck, you know, or the swan beautifully floating across the water and underneath the water, they're just like pedaling like mad. And that was me. I was there. I was her. I was that. And I was stressed below the surface. But I had a big shift, I don't know, in the last few years. I can't pinpoint exactly when it was. I know motherhood was definitely an informant of the shift. But I've really shifted into, I now really truly live our brand. I really do the life. I really am the lifestyle now. This is me. This is my lifestyle. This is who I am. Everything that I'm talking about, everything that I'm doing is truly now in my cells, part of my life and part of my every day. And I think for, you know, the busy entrepreneur who, you know, we've got lots on our mind, we've got minds that race a million miles a minute. For me, the more I'm in alignment and I'm living my truth and my highest purpose, more ease surrounds me, more ease surrounds my business, and more opportunities come in the door. And if I'm out of alignment, the wheels start to fall off something and then something else. You know, the stress of running a business is absolutely inevitable. I think it's how we take care of ourselves. What self-care do we infuse into our life and into our daily routine? So how can we then relate and react to that stress, that inevitable stress? You know, that's what really matters for me. That's sort of the key thing. Like, how can I get into alignment? How can I get close to myself every day so that I can relate and react to the stress and to the situations that arise as an entrepreneur from a place where I want to, from my heart, not from a place of, you know, anxiety or anger or stress.
Right. And when you have those days where you're like, man, everything is going wrong, are you a laugh it off kind of person? Are you just to take a deep breath? Or because we inevitably all end up in those spaces. And I find that's when we're really called to task in terms of can we live those values and those pieces? It's when we're sort of handed the universal bait, as it was.
Yeah, I think for me, sometimes, you know, I have my sister and I have the laugh, like, of course we do. And sometimes you have the cry. And usually now when I'm feeling those feelings, I step into my spiritual life. So I'll go and sit on my meditation cushion. I'll go do some breathing. I'll get into prayer, meditation, or read a passage from a teacher that I love, or I'll move my body. Something that reconnects me back to myself, because that's where my work is. It's the inner work. It's that consistent inner work and that tuning into yourself that really is helping me to deal with the stresses in life, whether it be as a mother or as an entrepreneur. And that's what I've really learned, I'd say, in the last year. You know, that it's not the busyness of work. So returning the emails and phone calls and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yes, that is the work, but the real work is the inner work, because that's where you're going to be able to ignite ideas, ignite your passion, you know, pacify emotions that you have, and really get aligned.
Yeah, I hear you on that. It's interesting because when I work with this busy population, mm-hmm. we'll open the conversation up to mindfulness. And I'm so reluctant to use that word with so many of my patients because it comes with this barrage of cultural baggage, right? Everyone's got
right.
this
it's
conception.
Right, it's really heavy. And it's kind of like, oh, that's so annoying that you just said that.
Yeah, you could just, their body language shifts, right? And they're just, yeah. like, they won't, I don't want to journal. I don't want to meditate. I don't want to do yoga. And it's hard. I find that challenging to get them over that line. And for me, when I work with this population, the first way I set it up for them is it's a challenge, right? And mm-hmm. it's actually going to be one of the harder challenges they face as entrepreneurs. Everyone can get busy and everyone can get angry. Like, that's easy. But it's being able to handle all of this and do the work, as you say, that makes it so powerful. And I find for this population in particular, it's the only way I can get them into it. But I suspect you have other tools to get people into this lifestyle. Do you have terminology that you use? Do you have baby steps that you use to pull people into a more mindfulness-based way of living?
You know, I think the number one thing, and you probably agree with this as a leader, is to model your life for people to see. And to, you know, model your life for people to see what you're doing and how you're experiencing the world and how they can have that same experience, you know, that you can teach through who you are and how you show up. And I think that has been a recent shift for me also, is that I think my vibe is so truly what it is, that it's emanating off of me and people can feel it. And those who are kind of like, okay, I kind of want to feel that way. I kind of want to get that vibe, call it mindfulness, whatever you want to call it. And then they start asking questions.
Right.
Right. And so you're speaking to somebody who's already interested. I think it's really challenging to speak to someone who hasn't made the commitment, who is totally comfortable in the status quo and where they're at. They don't want to make shifts. They don't want to make small shifts in their life. So when you're talking to somebody who's like, that's really interesting. Like, maybe there's something there. There can be lots of things there. It depends on what really resonates with them. So I think that's another sort of the next important thing is figuring out what resonates with that person. You know, are they a super highly physically active person? What are they eating? What kinds of things are they doing? And try and find two or three things that you could easily shift softly and gently and slowly for them that are going to move them towards where they want to go. So towards mindfulness, towards feeling more aligned, towards like up-leveling who they are in the world. So it might be as simple as like, we want to get you starting to eat more greens and more superfoods in your diet every day. It could be something like super simple like that, because we feel like they're able to make those shifts because maybe their diet already is healthy. So they're able to make that kind of small shift. Like, okay, I'm going to think about how I can eat 3 or 4 servings of greens a day. So it's these simple little sustainable shifts, you know, or maybe it's, okay, I'm going to recommend that you sit on your couch or sit on a meditation cushion or you sit on your bed in silence for 2 minutes a day. Do you think you can do that? You know, and if their answer is, you know, hell no, then we know that's not for them, right? And if they think, you know, I might be able to do that, you know, get into that daily ritual of sitting for 1 to 2 minutes in silence so you can tune in. So I think for everybody, it's a little different. For somebody else, it might be, you know, they really love working out. Maybe it's instead of one of their workouts every week, they go to a restorative yoga class. You know, can you commit to that small action? And I think it's these small actions that move people towards where they want to go and who they want to be that they can have quantum shifts in their life. Like it's really about, and I'm sure you agree, is moving the needle every day. That's how shifts happen. You know, I'm not for these super aggressive, super let's change everything all in 1 second. I think it needs to happen all in divine timing for each individual person.
And you know, I've never seen the massive lifestyle overhaul ever be sustainable for people. And occasionally when they go through a significant trauma with respect to their health, they're able to sort of catapult things forward. But still settle into a, you know, huge leap forward and then supported by daily commitments and actions every day. I just don't think it's realistic anymore to have these really huge
right, like let's do the Atkins diet. It's like, no thank you, it's way too aggressive. You know, we just need to have these more simple shifts. And I think I'll add to that too, Megan, is that the individual, also the person, needs to feel some results quickly. So I think if we can align them with things that where they're going to feel results quickly, they're then going to keep pursuing that. So for example, if they're all of a sudden, you know, go to the food example, if all of a sudden they're combining some more greens, maybe they're having a superfood smoothie every day, maybe they're doing their lemon water now in the morning, you know, two very simple actions, and they're starting to feel better and they're starting to feel a shift. That's where the magic happens, right? It's not in just being like, ugh, I'm drinking my smoothie, like I'm doing my water thing in the morning with lemon, like what's happening, but to feel that shift. You know, or in a yoga class, it's like you go in feeling one way and you go out feeling a completely different energy. You know, a yoga class can literally totally reorganize the energy in your body so that when you're finished, you're literally on a cellular level, a new person again. You know, can somebody feel a little bit of a shift? Maybe like even just this week, I had a really bad headache. I did a practice and I had no headache. And I was like, wow. Right? You know, it's just these little shifts. I think I also see it in essential oils. And we can get into that a little bit. But, you know, right before this call, I put on a little dab of a beautiful blend called Intune that's for focus. And it just gave me that little bit like, okay, my morning with my girls is done. They're fed, their snow pants are on, they're off to school. Now it's time to tune in and focus on my podcast. And it just gave me that little shift. So I think it's that result also that helps people, because when they get a result, they're going to do it a little more. They're going to get another result. They're going to do it a little bit more. They're going to get another result. And then they're going to think, oh, maybe this isn't just a 30-day program I'm doing with my, you know, yoga studio or this 30-day commitment to a new diet plan with my naturopath. I could actually do this every day.
That's just it. You know, we had another guest on the podcast, Dr. Sachin Patel, and he was saying, he's like, he always has this quote, and he's like, it's consistency, not the storm that builds the canyon. And
beautiful. And,
right? I know he's like that. Yeah, that's why we hang out with him. But it's so true. And you know what? If people come and see me and we're working together, if they're not seeing results, like they're not going to come back. Like you have to see results. And it's awesome to say, you know, there's a delayed gratification piece and you're going to feel great in 5 years, but like no one's hanging around for that.
Correct.
Yeah. And, you know, so it's a good segue because I think there's this movement in terms of, you know, what's the hack for this? What's the biohack for this? What's the productivity hack for this? And I think it segues into essential oils. And I've got a bunch of questions there because I think they are an incredible tool that people can access. But I also know there's some really interesting, we'll call them mindfulness hacks. And I call them like gateway tools, like the 5-minute journal or the Muse.
Yes.
Do you use some of these tools in your daily life? Have you evolved beyond the 5-minute journal? Because it's one of my favorite commitments on a daily basis. And maybe you can explain a little bit about what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely some really good hacks out there. I think for me, my fave at the moment, I have a couple. One is I've just gotten on to the reduce the blue light on your computer at night and on your iPhone. So for me, I'm committed to phone off, Wi-Fi off the computer by 9 p.m. every night. That's a really recent commitment because you know what? It kills your sleep for me. If I'm looking at my screen and I'm looking at my email in the bright blue light, I can't, I don't have a good sleep. So I downloaded a program on my iMac called Flux, like F.LUX. And what it does is you set the timing, and from evening until sunrise, there's a yellowness that comes to the screen. So even when I'm up really early in the morning, which I am now, doing my practice, my spiritual practice, and then my work, my computer's still not on full light. So it's adjusting your eyes so that you can not be so affected by the blue light, particularly before you go to bed. So that's one like little tech hack that I'm really obsessed with at the moment. I'm also really on to the iPhone bedtime setting. So where you set it and they have all these beautiful little, you know, ding, ding, dings to wake you up. Gives you a little reminder when you need to go to bed. My husband and I will be on, you know, together in the evening and we'll have a laugh because his will go off and I'll be like, oh, time to go to bed.
Because thank goodness we've got apps to tell us to go to sleep.
Right? Like, thank gosh. Otherwise, I'd be, you know, whatever we're doing, you know, talking, watching TV, whatever. So they're great. These are great ones that I've just recently discovered that I love. I do love the 5-minute journal. A friend of mine created it. And what I love about it is it's literally like 45 seconds in the morning, 45 seconds in the evening. And if you can't commit to that, you know, you potentially, you know, want to try something else because it's really great. It also moves you into a place of gratitude before you go to bed, which I love. You know, Wayne Dyer talked a lot about the thoughts that we're having right before we sleep, which in most cases are often, you know, anxious thoughts, planning thoughts, I'm not enough thoughts, how am I going to get it done thoughts. Those are the thoughts that embed into our brain and into our chemistry before we go to bed and hit deep REM. So what he's suggesting is we in fact transition the thoughts to really positive thoughts before we go to bed. So in the case of the 5-minute journal, it gets you thinking about really nice thoughts, like what are 3 things that really went well for you today? You know, so you could reflect on them and they're little, right? They're usually just little things. To then go to sleep on that high note is really powerful for your sleep. So I do love the 5-minute journal. As far as meditation goes, I've tried lots of the apps, but I'm at a place now where I really do have my own practice. And I have a few teachers who I'll follow and listen to audio recordings. But they're not specifically like little quick fix apps. But I do use a mindfulness timer. So I have a little ding happening when I'm, you know, when I've sat for long enough. I do love that. And so, yeah, those are kind of what are up for me. My sister and I are actually working right now on a new daily journaling ritual that we're creating. We're kind of using it and creating it and using it and creating it. And so stay tuned for that.
Amazing. I can't wait. And have you tried the Muse? Do you know what that is?
I have not tried the Muse. No, tell me, what's the Muse?
So the Muse, it's a Canadian technology, and it's so cool. So you wear this band on your forehead, and you plug into the app, and then as you are actually in a meditative state, then you hear birds and things. Well, birds are like the ultimate prize, right? We've gamified meditation. But things get really, really calm. And then as your brain gets active, the weather gets louder, the wind gets louder, whatever soundscape you happen to pick. And it's incredible. And the way I've been using it is that, so I'll use it in my own practice, just because I find it really helpful to have that biofeedback in terms of turning my head off. But I've been using it with patients. And then the thing I've added to their sessions with the Muse in my office is I now have them lying down doing acupuncture while they have the Muse on. And their results are so much better. So it's really neat to start to play with that a little bit. But for a lot of people, they give this feedback. They're like, I thought I was meditating. I thought I was clearing my head, but like, this is different. This is a different feeling entirely. So it's just a really neat, tool. You're welcome to come over and play with mine anytime.
I will take you up on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have another quick question for you, because you keep dropping little hints here related to essential oils. And I know this is something that you're really passionate about. Can you give us some examples of some essential oils that might work well with sort of entrepreneurial go-getter population, you know, calming them down, putting them in a state of clarity? I mean, you're moving in and out of these physiological states all day long.
Do you
have some good suggestions that people can use and pick up and integrate into their daily life?
These essential oils for me are absolutely genius as an entrepreneur and as a mother. And I I think what I love about them most is, you know, back to the idea of like somebody making a small action and feeling a result. The technology of the plants in an essential oil work very quickly in the bloodstream, and they're giving you in most cases, a quick shift of energy, a quick shift in the way we feel, which is, you know, what we're all looking for, right? It's in that moment. How can I shift who I am in this moment, or who I'm about to be in this moment? And what they've done for me, so an essential oil is basically it's 100% plant essence. It's an aromatic compound, but they're super, super concentrated. So just to give you an example, one drop of peppermint essential oil is the equivalent of drinking 28 cups of peppermint tea. So they're super, super potent. And
that's so efficient.
It's so efficient, right? So they work on a cellular level. They literally shift your chemistry. So the way they work is that they'll, upon putting on topically, and again, you really only want to use certified therapeutic grade essential oils. So I can't speak to all essential oils, but once you put them on topically, let's say the bottom of your feet, which is often where I put them because that's where our nerve endings are, they enter the bloodstream in 30 seconds, and at that 30-second mark, they then enter every single cell of the body. So in 30 seconds, you're literally shifting the energy in a cell. You're shifting the chemistry, which to me is kind of mind-blowing. A lot of other things that we can take don't actually enter the cell. They don't permeate the cell membrane, where an essential oil actually gets right into the cell, which is why they're so effective. They also cross the blood-brain barrier. So a lot of medications and a lot of pharmaceuticals, for example, you can take them, but they don't cross that blood-brain barrier. An essential oil actually does. So you're allowing these plants to literally get into the blood, get into the cells, and, you know, upgrade the way you feel in a quick moment. So for me, these have been pretty much a game changer. I think one of the, as an entrepreneur, what I really love is I'm using them now to upgrade my thoughts and the way I feel in my body and my moods. So you can actually use them and get in front of the way you are going to feel. So if you know you're kind of feeling low and you have like, you know, you got some creativity you have to get done for work, but you're sort of tired from last night because you didn't get a good sleep because you didn't use your Flux on your computer. you know, I will put on some of the passion blend. I'll put it in my diffuser. I'll put a little bit on the bottom of my feet. So the passion blend kind of negates any feelings of like being dull, being bored, being lethargic, being stuck, and it can shift you into a place of like inspiration and creativity. And so that's what I love, are these kind of fast shifts where you can get in front of a mood. So, you know, like I said earlier before this call, I just put on my Intune, which is one of my favorites for an entrepreneur. It's called the Focus Blend, and it's a mix of a whole bunch of different plants. It has patchouli, it has frankincense, it has some sandalwood and some Roman chamomile, and blended together, it helps to zap you into focus. So love this one as a mom too, especially when I'm going from like being an entrepreneur, okay, quick run in the door, okay, I'm a mom, you know, when you're shifting gears, I find this oil is really great. I just dab a little bit on each temple, dab the back of my neck, and I'm done.
And how much better is that than having your third cup of coffee for the day, right?
You know,
if this
what?
Is going to zap you into consciousness so you can be present as a parent, this beats coffee any day.
It totally does. And you're not getting that adrenal drain, right, from coffee. Like and it's quick. Like sometimes you don't even have time to grab the coffee that you want to grab, right? But if you have your essential oils, your little wellness hack with you in your purse or in your bag, you're good to go. I think, you know, for myself, I love diffusing first thing in the morning when I wake up. I put peppermint and wild orange. Peppermint is the oil of a buoyant heart, and wild orange is the oil of abundance. And I just put that, it's actually going right now in my diffuser. It's so uplifting. It's energizing. It just gets me going.
It's so on brand.
Yeah. It gets me going into my, into my morning. So I wake up and I have my spiritual practice first, and it's just such a great way to wake up. And I just feel so light when I got the diffuser going. So yes, to answer your question, the oils are awesome for entrepreneurs. You know, there's all sorts of different physical properties and emotional feelings that we can use essential oils to achieve, which is pretty awesome. So, you know, you kind of mentioned clarity. So for clarity, I love an oil called Clary Sage. It's the oil of vision and clarity. So for me, if I'm, you know, sitting down to do some brainstorming for a project, or if I'm really stuck on something, I just don't know which way to go, I'll often use a little Clary Sage, a little bit on the bottom of my feet, or pop it in my diffuser. And it really helps to just open up that space for some clarity.
I love it. And, you know, this kind of segues into this really selfish question I like to ask my guests, but in the spirit of sharing, and you mentioned, you know, you put in your diffuser and you have your morning practice. And I will also share, I have this insight in that I have seen your home and it's beautiful. In fact, that's how we met, is that we share an architect, and he wanted to show me this project that he had done. And you, poor thing, you just had a baby and you were so generous. You're like, come on over and see my space. And so, as you know, we're entering into that journey as well. And one of the things that I've been asking my very wise guests is, if you were, and you've done this now, but if you were doing it again, or you were, you know, building out your perfect space, we're looking at like, how do we biohack our house? How do we live all of these principles on a daily basis? What is one thing that you're like, you've got to have this in your home as you make these changes?
Absolutely, a space for a sacred practice and for stillness. So it's somewhere in the house where there isn't a lot of noise or technology. It's somewhere that's just dedicated to quietness and stillness. And it's somewhere that you could go sit. It's somewhere that your children could go sit. Your husband can go sit. So my husband and I have a meditation area that we've created in a bay window in our second floor. And we've got our meditation cushions and some props for sitting and doing some yoga stretches. We've got our vision board. We've got some little things of meaning on our altar. So we both have a few things that are of meaning to us, or some things that we're looking to call into our life. There's some representation of that. So creating like a little altar and a sacred space somewhere in your home that it's like, this is our space for that, for being, for connecting, for tuning in. I'd say that's number one. And it's awesome. We'll find my little one. We have a 2.5-year-old, and sometimes, and even the baby, she'll crawl all over the cushions. And we have a crystal singing bowl, like a healing bowl that we play music. And our 2.5-year-old loves playing it. She knows how to do it. And sometimes she bashes the wooden stick on, like, no. but she's part of it, you know? So I think for you guys and your little people, it's really important to have that space, to carve it out when you're designing the house. Make sure you have it. Make sure it fits a yoga mat, some meditation cushions. If it can be near some bright light, I think that's really ideal.
It's on the list. We're going to have you over as a consultant as we're getting closer.
Yeah, put a nice big plant there that you love. Like, we have a plant, so there's a little bit of nature coming in. And it's not too cluttered. So kind of, you don't want to have too much crap around it. I know we all tend to collect things. keep it nice and clean. And that's my total number one reco. The other thing that we did, which is just, I've been doing it for a decade now since we built out 889, is just get the toxins out of the process of building.
Yes, so key.
When we started 10 years ago, our contractor was like, a what paint? We're like, a non-VOC paint. He was like, what? Does it work? So anyways, it's super available on the market now. So paint your whole house in a non-VOC paint. That's just like numero uno most important.
Yeah, it's amazing actually how many people come into my office, and if they are young and they're presenting with rheumatoid arthritis, I almost always look at them and I say, when did you renovate? And they look at me like I'm crazy. And it's amazing the connection between building materials and off-gassing and VOCs. And if you have a propensity or risk factor around autoimmune conditions, that is when things get triggered. So it's absolutely really important advice, especially, if you've got little people who are going to be moving into that space. Things can off-gas for a really long time.
It's a really big one. So that's a non-negotiable for me.
Each month, I'm featuring a new Anthropology quiz to help you unlock and uncover some of the physical performance blocks that may be holding you back from your true potential. This month, we are talking about stress and adrenal fatigue. To learn more or to take the quiz, head on over to meganwalker.com/Anthropology quiz. Christine, you have so much wisdom and so much to offer. I want to transition into the second part of our interview. And this is what I call the KPIs, or key performance indicators. And we're also used to having these in our business. But I think it's really important to also have them in our life. So you don't know what's coming, but these are questions I ask all of my guests. And they're just meant to be sort of really quick sort of punches in terms of your wisdom and your ideas on these things. So I'm gonna throw these at you. Oh yeah, you should be excited. Okay. First question, what's your morning routine? That first hour when you wake up?
Okay, wake up 5:45. Get on a really casual outfit that I've already picked out the night before. Quietly creep down my stairs so nobody else hears me. Come into my office where I have my workspace and also my meditation altar. Turn my light on, turn my diffuser on. I've already got my oils in there ready to go. I've already got my water bottle. I have a liter bottle right on my desk. It's the first thing that I drink in the morning. So I have 2 drops of lemon essential oil, 1 drop of spearmint, and 1 drop of basil. Lemon's for cleansing and basil is for adrenal support. Give it a shake. Take that with my digestive enzyme. get onto my rollerball and I roll on one of those foam rollers to open up my spine, you know, elbows over the head, feels really good. Then I move to my meditation cushion and I do a few breathwork exercises and a few sort of body stretches. It's a little bit of yoga meets breathing. It's based in the Kundalini tradition. Then I sit. So after I've done a little stretching and I've done some breath work, so I've reorganized some energy in my body, I sit. And I'll sit anywhere from like 5 minutes to 30 minutes, depending on the day, the moment, what's going on. Then I usually pull a tarot card. I'll have a question for, you know, the universe. Pull a tarot card, say my prayers. Always like to get my prayers in before I start my day. And then I meander on over to my new standing desk that I love and get going on my day. And I try, hopefully I usually get in 30 to 60 minutes of work before my little people wake up. Just kind of depends. That's my morning.
That is so far my favorite morning routine I have ever heard. What time do you go to bed?
I have just transitioned my morning earlier. So I'm now in the fives, which I've never been before. So now I have to go to bed in the nines.
Yep, fair enough.
So my little one gets her, she still does her dream feed. She loves getting her bubba. So she gets her bubba at 9:30. I feed her and then I'm up to bed.
Good for you. Hot beverage of choice. What is it and how do you prepare it?
Ooh, okay. So that's the first thing I do when I go downstairs when the girls are awake. Night before, I brew some chaga, which is a wild mushroom that's great for the immune system. And right now my favorite is either a mix of chaga and coffee or just straight chaga. I put it in the blender. So if I do coffee, I do the organic half-ass from Kicking Horse. Put it in my blender with a tablespoon of coconut oil or the Bulletproof Brain Octane with a teaspoon of grass-fed butter, 2 drops of my cinnamon essential oil, blend. And that is what I'm drinking right now.
That is amazing. Christine, what do you do for fun?
Are you proud of me? Because I know you love it.
I'm just sitting here smiling. I was like, oh, this morning, you're killing it here. What do you do for fun?
Oh, I love being outside. I love being in nature. So I love skiing. My husband and I love skiing together. We love going for walks in the ravine. I love being outside. I'm a major outside person. I think also dancing. I love dancing.
Amazing. My last question for you. Entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Born.
Yeah. It seems to be a really strong, a strong opinion of our guests so far.
Mm-hmm.
Christine, you have had so many nuggets of wisdom and really specific things that people can start to integrate into their lives. I know people are going to want to be in touch with you after the podcast today. Where can people find you?
Well, you can find me. My studio is at 889yoga.com. If you'd like to find our shop, it's 889yoga.com/shop. If you'd like to find me, I am at on Instagram. I'm at 889Christine, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. And you can also find me, my email is my first name, Christine, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, at 889yoga.com. And I would love to hear from you.
Amazing. You are going to be hearing from people because you had just so many great things to share. Thank you so much and have a great day.
Thank you, Megan. It's my honor.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.